1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Beth-El, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in against him to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor return again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. There's two basic stories in this chapter that are tied together, and yet there is so much that is in the first setting that is different than the second, that I want you to see it as though it were a play, and this is scene one. And we're going to take it to this point, and then we're going to pick up the scriptures and take it into the second scene. In this scene, we begin with the words in verse one, and behold, there came a man of God. Thank God there's men and women of God. And we can be known as that, praise the Lord. We are meant to be known as God's people. We're supposed to have a walk with God that causes us to have this designation. We are a people that are not just religious. We are God's men and God's women. And the reason that we're called God's men and God's women is because God's word is in us. And God's word flows through us. It is not just that we have a knowledge of the things of God, but God speaks through his people. God speaks through his saints. And every single one of us, as we continue to walk in God, the Bible says we all can prophesy. And it's time for us to recognize that the word of the Lord is a power in this moment, waiting to be unleashed upon this generation. And there's got to be something that God does to set us in order, so that as the word of God goes forth through us, that it doesn't return void, but accomplishes what God sent it forth to do. This man is a man of God, and God sends him to the very top of the place of responsibility and the prestige to the king. The king is about to do something that is totally abhorrent in the mind of God. He is setting up a superstitious altar. It's going to be his altar, and it's going to be a religion that he feels that is going to bless those people of God. And so he begins in that moment to dedicate this altar. And the man of God walks up, and he doesn't address the king, but he addresses his altar and said, Altar, you will not prosper. There will be those who are ungodly, dead men, will lay upon you because they'll be judged. Because a king's going to come down the line, and that king is going to be a king of righteousness that is not going to allow the superstitions to continue. And you, altar, you will see that the things of the ungodly will not prosper. You will be laid in rubble. You will be devoured. Altar, you will be destroyed. The king stretches forth his hand and says, take hold of that man. And in that moment, the power of God backs up the word of the Lord. And in that hour, we look and we find the withering of the king's hand. He can't move it. And that hour, there is something that happens. He understands there's a God that's bigger than his own philosophies. There's a God that's bigger than his own superstition. There's a God that's bigger than his own ideas. There's a God that goes on in spite of us or with us. But he's God, and he doesn't give up his place of mighty power and authority. There is a God tonight. I want to tell you, there's a God tonight, and he stands no matter what we do. He's the Lord God Almighty. He doesn't depend on us, though he uses us. He's the Lord strong and mighty. This king, as he looked at his hand that was withered, he turned to the man of God and he said, pray for me that I can recover. And this man of God has a respect for the king, recognizes that the king is a deceived man by demon spirits, by the power of his own pride in his flesh. And so he prays that God would be merciful to the king, and the king gets back the use of his hand. And he says, come home with me. And the man of God's already had a word from the Lord. You don't come back the same way you went. Every single one of us, when we speak the word of God, it ought to change our journey. It ought to change the way we walk. It ought to change the way we came into this moment. We ought to be transformed. We have delivered God's word. We don't come back the same way. We recognize God's done something. He's used me as an instrument, and it's not just something that happened. It's important to realize that when the word of God flows through you, it's a reverent moment. It's a holy moment. It's a powerful moment. It's not just another moment that happened, but it's God saying something. I want to use you not only now, but I want to use you beyond this point. I want to use you again. God had said to the man of God, put into his spirit, I'm going to send you to the king, and I'm going to give you a message to declare. And when it's over with, don't you come back the same way. Don't you go back to the city to eat and drink. Don't you socialize. You went to give a word, you leave and you get back to me. Because I want to keep a line with you. I need somebody that my word can come through that doesn't get distorted and get somehow manipulated in the process. I want you to be a man of God. Not many of us want to be men of God, and it shows. Not many of us want to be women of God, it shows. We want to be people that have lots of friends. But if you ever get to the place that God uses you, you're going to find that there's a loneliness at times in your experience. You're going to have to go to your knees in prayer, not to every barbecue, not to every party, not to every group, even saints. You're going to have to be able to know in this moment, God's calling me to a place of purity. God's calling me to a place of holiness. God's calling me away from just being applauded. He's calling me to know him and the power of his resurrection. The man of God said, if you gave me half your kingdom, I couldn't go with you. I have been given a word from the Lord not to go and eat and drink. I've been given a word of God not to go back to the city. I've been given a word of God to go in this moment according to God's purpose and plan. And he was able in that moment to say, King, I am not tempted in this manner because I've heard a word from the Lord. You see, it's easy sometimes to stay away from the bar if you're spiritual. It's easy sometimes to stay away from the ungodly if you have a heart for God. But you got to realize the devil wants to take your call. He wants to take your ministry. He wants to keep you from being the person God wants you to be. But if you can go forward in God, that's the greatest joy there is, to know that God's apprehended me and I'm not going to turn to the right hand nor to the left. I'm headed on into the blessing of the Lord. I'm going forward. And he turns to the king and he says, no, I'm headed back all by myself. I'm headed back all by myself. That's scene one. You look and you see the curtain close on that. He's delivered the word. He's been obedient to God. He's been right in his spirit. And he's obeyed and he's passed the test.
I would to God that there was one test that would end all tests. That we could say it was on a Sunday night, a Thursday night, somewhere along the line, and I passed the test and I'm on my way. Nothing can stop me now. But I want to tell you, as long as you're in this body, there's going to be more tests than the ones you've already come through. And I encourage you this moment, if you're going to pass the test, you can't depend on yourself. You better get a closer relationship with Jesus. Because when you fail the test, He's the only one that can buy you grace and mercy and bring you through and lift you up again. You've got to have a relationship with Jesus. Without that relationship, sooner or later, you're going to miss a test. Sooner or later, you're going to get a bad mark. And the only hope you have in this moment, that you know that though I might fail, He'll lift me up again. Though I might miss the mark, I can put my confidence in God. He's able to give me an opportunity to be transformed. He's a redemptive God. My faith is in Christ and Christ alone. Going back to the word of the Lord, verse 11, scene 2. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, which way went he? For his sons had seen which way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, this old prophet declared, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. I want you to get this picture. The man of God's been obedient. The man of God's obeyed the Lord. He's sitting down under a tree. And this old prophet, he had a desire to be around a real man of God. There's a lot of people that's missed the mark. They don't mind getting in good services. There's a lot of people with sin in their lives. They don't mind getting into good services. And I thank God that this is true. But there's a lot of people with sin in their life. They're saying like this old prophet, I am a prophet just like you. I am a prophet just like you. Listen, you don't know about nobody but yourself. And if you're right with God and somebody tells you, I'm right with God just like you, you can say that's nice, but you don't know that. The only thing you know is your own experience. That's all you know tonight. You don't know my experience. You don't know my call. You know yours. And you've got to take care of your experience. You've got to obey God for what He tells you to do. The only person you know about is the one that God's talking to. You yourself, you're the only person that really is the person you're responsible for. The first thing the man of God, the old prophet, said is, I am a man of God just like you. Isn't that interesting? I'm a man of God just like you, and an angel spake unto me. Listen, I don't know nothing about the angel that spoke to you. I only know the word of God that came to me. I don't know nothing about your vision. And I'm not going nowhere because you had a vision. I'm going nowhere because an angel spoke to you. I'm going nowhere because you've got a revelation. I'm going where I'm going because of what God has said to me. I'm not going anywhere because an angel told you something. There's something in this message the church needs to hear this moment. Old prophets lie. Carnal prophets lie. And they're prophets. And it seems that they've had something to do with the word of God along the way. But they found out that sometimes it's impressive to add to what God has done. It's impressive to tell about what God has done. The vision God gave them. The dream that they had. The move of God that was upon them. I want to tell you, everything that's said by a preacher is not the truth. Everything that's said by a so-called prophet is not the truth. Don't you go following somebody because they heard from God. You follow God because you heard from God. Because God spoke to you. You need a relationship with God yourself. Hell. He stood there and he said, hey, I'm like you. I hear from God. I'm a prophet. When you were just a little boy, I was prophesying. When you were just a little boy, I was getting a vision. When you were just a little boy, I was seeing angels. When you were just a little boy, God was speaking to me. I'm just like you. I am a prophet. And an angel came and spake to me and said, go get that man of God and bring him to your house and feed him and give him to drink. And the man of God said, oh, that's nice. When God tells you something, you got to wrestle it through. I don't care what it is that people tell you that God told them about you, who you ought to marry, who you ought to see, where you ought to go. You better get it from God. You better get it from nobody else. You better not go on any wild goose chase just because somebody else said something. You hear from God. I want to tell you, some people go around and they get prayed over, prophesied in different churches. You don't even know who's prophesying over you. You don't know what kind of a spirit they have. You don't know what's coming from them. And they give you some prophecy that you're going to get married or you're going to do this or you're going to do that. Why don't you get into God's word? Why don't you get into God's word? Listen, you got to start there. You got to hear from God. It's got to be the Lord that speaks to your heart. And I thank God for this. But watch it. It's not all genuine. There's more spirits that hang around some church that are familiar spirits, works of darkness than you understand. It's time to realize that it's God that has called you. You know the Holy Spirit that convicted you of your sin. You know God that's worked in your spirit. Hang on to what you've got. Don't give up what's yours. So what did this man of God do? He threw down what he had to take what the other man had. Well, this is God's word. Don't you stop and don't you go into the city. Don't you go by the same way you came. But you got a better word. I like your word better. It says I can have more than what my word says. My word says I can't have nothing. Your word says I can eat and dine and have a good time. Give me your word. Give me your word. A lot of us are swapping word. We're swapping what God said to what somebody else God told them. I don't know what God told you, but I know what God told me. Be ye holy as I am holy. I know what God told me. Don't you be dishonest. I know what God told me. He said the liar shall be in the lake of fire. I know what God told me. And the man of God said, I like your word better than mine. Your word came later. Maybe God changed his mind. God's not double-minded. If God changes his mind, he better come and tell you. Well, you know, I'm God and I change my mind. I do it all the time. You better get it from God. If he gave you a word, you're responsible for the word that God gave you. Now, a lot of people haven't had as much from God as they suppose. But if you know in your spirit God told you something, don't you switch it. Woman came to me and said, I've been going with this guy, and God spoke to me, told me to break up with him. I broke up with him. Saw her 3 weeks later. She said, I'm going to be marrying him. I said, I thought God said he wanted you to break up. Oh, well, that was back then. I started hanging around him again, and God didn't say nothing else, so I guess, you know, that's just a word for then. The word of God doesn't keep flip-flopping on you. The word of God, you can nail it down. It can nail you down. God's word isn't changing all over the place. Now, maybe what happened at the first time wasn't God's word. Then we can ask God, and he can tell us it was presumption. But if God is speaking to our spirits, and we know that it's God's word, you better run with the word of God, or you're going to be torn asunder. Something's going to go wrong. So the old prophet came to him and said, oh, an angel came to me. I want to read that because he was smooth. Watch people who impress you with their relationship with God and the powers of God. I hear people say, I got caught up to the third heaven. They write books about it. People buy them. Think, oh, I got such a boring experience I wish I had with the other person. Have you considered the fact maybe they're lying? Maybe they're deceived? It may be so, but the enemy wants you to think that your experience isn't much. Somebody else has got a better experience than you. I want to tell you, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. You got the experience God wants you to have, run with it. Thank God for it. If he wanted you to have another one, he'd give you another one. And he will in whatever time he sees fit. But thank God for your relationship with the Lord. We're going to have church tonight before it's over. I, verse 18, am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which thy Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread, drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, the word of God came to him, but he was in the middle of the meal and he figured, I might as well finish it. Some of you think you're in the middle of a snare, you might as well finish it. I tell you, you better get out as quick as you can. You better live as quick as you can. You think, I've already fallen. I've already missed the mark. I've already got caught up in this relationship. I'm already doing what I ought not to do. I might as well finish it. No, you better get out whenever you can. You can't stay 1 minute longer after God's spoken to you. Get out of it. Now, why didn't he really cry out to God in that moment? The reason is because God spoke to him and said, you're not going to get the fullness of the blessing. Things aren't going to turn out for you as well as they could have. You are not going, when your life is finished, to be laid with your relations with your fathers. Your life is not going to be a perfect life. And as long as we hear from God and he says, you haven't obeyed me, your life isn't going to be perfect. You say, oh, that's okay. As long as I have God's permissive will, I don't need his perfect will. As long as I get blessed, I don't need perfect blessing. As long as I got something going on that's not too bad, I can handle it. How many of us, we know that we are not getting God's best? We understand we're not getting God's best, but we say, that's all right. I don't need God's best. As long as it's good enough, that's all I need. And so he sat there because the word of the Lord simply said to him, when your life is over, you're not going to be buried with your fathers. You're not going to be buried in the same burial plot with the rest. There's not going to be the bonding of the whole continuity of life as it's meant to be. You're going to be buried somewhere else. You're not going to be buried with your fathers. There's a lot of us, when God speaks to us and he says something that's not too scary, we think that's all right. That's okay. I can handle that. That's not that important to me. It wasn't the biggest thing in his mind, in his thoughts, to be buried with his fathers. What God was taking out of his life, he thought, I can afford to lose that. That doesn't scare me. That doesn't bother me. If I don't get the promotion, it doesn't matter. If I don't get the better raise, it doesn't matter. If I don't have the greatest joy and peace, it doesn't matter. As long as I have something, it's enough. But I want to tell you, we need God's best. We need God's best. And when you're willing to give up God's best, you'll end up giving up more than that. You think you can just lose a little bit, but you need God's best in your spirit. You need God's best in your mind. You need God's best in your thoughts. You need God's best. There's no second best for a Christian. I want his best. He sat there and he ate. And then he thought, well, I got it coming. And he could have argued the point that he was lied to, but he knew God talked to him. So he went back with him. The word of God came out to him. After he'd eaten bread and after he had drunk, verse 23, he saddled for him the ass, to wit for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. Don't you know his attitude would have been different if the prophet had said, a lion's going to kill you as soon as you leave here? Don't you know that he'd got a hold of God if the prophet had said, this is going to be the last day you live? Don't you know he would have cried out for mercy if God had spoken to him and said, a lion's going to kill you. You're not going to live another day. Death is staring you in the face. But God simply had said by the messenger, he only spoke and said that you're not going to have the best. You're not going to be buried with your fathers. You're not going to have the best that you could have. And how many people they think, well, I know I could have more than this. I want to tell you, it's not just that you can have more than this, but you're on the edge of being destroyed. The devil comes to steal and to kill and destroy. And you need not only to get by, you need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You need the power of God moving in your life. You need the mercy of God. You need God's double portion. He thought, I won't have the best, but that's all right. But if it had heard what was in that word, the deeper revelation that it was the last day of his life, the last day of his life, it had been altogether different. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass of the man cast in the way. And the lion standing by the carcass, not even eating him. He's only a messenger. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the Lord, the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord which he spake unto him. And he spake to his son, saying, saddle me the ass, and they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass, nor torn the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God, and laid it upon the ass, and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave. And they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. And it came to pass that after he had buried him, that he spake to his son, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the sepulcher wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. To give meaning to this message to every one of us that are here. I want to talk to you that are real. You've come through some real tests and trials. You've struggled with some real problems in your life. And the devil wants to pull you down. And when you begin to let God move in your life, there is that sense that you can belong to a clique. You can belong to a group. You can belong to some people who want you to be a part of them because of the anointing that's on your life. I want to say, if God's put the Holy Ghost inside of you, your first relationship is with Christ. Your first relationship is with God. Your first relationship is in worship, to praise Him, to love Him. You've got to have time for the book before you have time for anything else. You've got to have time to worship and to praise Him. If you have time for nothing else, He's God in your life. You have a relationship with Him that cannot be adulterated by other people worming in. It's got to be you and Him, a relationship with the Almighty. If God's put a real touch of His Spirit in your life, there's some carnal people who like to be around you. There's some carnal people that would like to give you some gossip. There's some carnal people who would like to socialize with you. And I thank God for baseball teams and everything that's a part of entertainment. But I've seen entertainment come and entertainment go, and it doesn't help the church. After the ball game is over, where are the people who played ball? You need more than ball playing. You need to be on your knees before God, saying, God, give me that spirit. I'm not against the socialness of the church, but it's not a substitute for a word from the Lord. I'm not against fellowship, but you're going to find out that you're in the wrong ship more time in fellowship than not. You're going to be in the wrong conversation more times than not. You're going to be pulled into a thing that ought not to be. I want to tell you, don't let somebody else control your life. If God sets you free, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Draw nigh to God. Why did the old prophet want the young prophet? Because he knew he had something that was real. He knew that this young prophet had something that he didn't have. And you can share with other people, but you can't go with them. Into their bondage and into their curse and into their conversation, you can't be their buddy. It's time to realize that God's looking for a people. and we're looking for God to do something in a mystical way that it's just going to happen. It doesn't just happen. God breathes His word and He separates those He breathes to from the world. I'd like to tell you different, but it's not so. If God puts an anointing upon you, there's going to be times you're going to be all by yourself. If the only time you pray is in prayer meeting, you're not praying. If the only time you get anointed is in church, you don't have much of an anointing. You're getting the rain spill off, and it's not going to change your life. It's got to come out of your belly. And if it's coming out of your belly, somebody wants to make merchandise of you. Somebody wants to make you their friend. Somebody wants to draw you to themselves. When you go to churches and you got those mamas that are with a religious spirit, looking to get one or two women so that they can start their ministry, saying you and I are supposed to serve the Lord together, you better turn to them and say, first of all, I got to serve Him by myself. I got to serve Him by myself. There's always somebody wants to hitch up with the young prophet or prophetess. There's always somebody that says, watch her. She's got a bad spirit. Watch them. They don't understand the things of God. Watch that. Listen, you better get away from somebody else that's teaching you, and you better let the Holy Spirit begin to talk to you. You better know Him who is able to change your life. The old prophet didn't have much, and he was impressed with what the young prophet had. And he wanted to bring success around him. The word of God around him. The anointing around him. He wanted to get this one close to him. And also, there was something in the old prophet that was a root of bitterness, no doubt, that thought, he's no better than I am. He's no better than I am. He's no better than I am. There's a lot of people in the church that want to tear down the people that are getting up and going forward. And if you get caught in the clutches of what the devil's doing, you'll simply find yourself a part of what the devil's doing of tearing up the body of Christ. You got to make up your mind, I'm talking to Jesus more than anybody else. I'm not turning to the right hand. I'm not turning to the left. Some of you don't understand this message. I can't help that. God gave me the message. Maybe He didn't give it to me for you, but He gave it to somebody. It's time to realize there's something real about God. There's something holy about God. And it's not fun time. It's an anointing time. And the anointing is not something that we get in a crowd. It's that which comes upon us because God calls us by our name. I've seen people in the midst of an assembly, maybe thousands of people, but when it's real, it's as though they're all by themselves in His presence. It's as though they're standing in His presence all alone. God's talking to them. God's moving upon them. God's breathing upon them. Some people, they just get into the crowd hysteria. But I want to tell you, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. He liberates you from being pulled by everybody else. A lot of people say, well, I don't know. I go to this church. They tell me this. I go to that church. They tell me that. Why don't you go to Jesus? The reason you're listening so much to other people, you don't believe you can hear from God. But God will talk to you. He's God. He will talk to you. He'll talk to you. Ask the Savior. Talk to Him. Turn to Him. Let God work in your spirit. Let God work in your life. You see, the old man of God, he didn't just want to go see the young prophet and talk to him. He wanted to bring him into his world. Watch out for people who want to bring you into their world. Watch out for churches that want to bring you into their world. I want to bring you into Him. I want you to know Him in the power of His resurrection. I want you to taste and see that the Lord is good. I want you to know that no matter what happens, you can look up and say, my anchor holds. I've got a relationship with Him. He's able. He's able. He keeps me. The old prophet, he had this attitude. Hey, I know every prophet's been around. He wanted to add this young man of God to his list. That he could tell other people, oh yeah, I knew him. He was over my house. I was talking to him. He's young, he's got a lot to learn, but man, I told him so much. He wanted to protect his turf. He wanted to stay important. He wanted to have a connection with everything that was valid, but he wanted to be above in the situation. I am a prophet as you are. I heard from God. I saw an angel. I had a revelation. I. Some of you, you listen to people who come to town, and when they get done, you think you don't have nothing. You got something if you're saved. Stand up for what God gave you. Stand up for the faith of the Son of God that's in you. Praise God for what God gave you. Stand around gullible. You think, well, Lord never showed me that. Lord never did that for me. Lord never came sat on my bed. Some of the people in the church quit their lying. You'd feel a whole lot better about your experience. It's time to thank God for what you got. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's told you that your sins are gone. He tells you that you're alive in Him. He's brought you out of the miry clay. He set your feet on a rock to stay. He's put a song in your soul. Take hold of your experience. Praise God for what you got. I got something from God, the old man said, that's better than what you got. And it takes the place of what God said to you. You watch anything that's novel. We got itching ears. We want something new. We want something that's unique. We want something that nobody else has had. We got half the body of Christ acting like laughing hyenas. And they think it's better than holiness. They think it's better than purity. They think it's better than the Word of God. I want something that's contagious. Listen, you can't get this that will soak into you. It's a relationship with God. And God can turn your life and transform you. You need God to be real to you, to change you. A woman came to me and said, pray that I get slain in the spirit. I said, why? Why? Well, everybody ought to be slain in the spirit. I said, I've seen some preachers who've never been slain in the spirit. Most of the people I see who get slain in the spirit, they ought to get slain. They got enough rebellion, gossip, unbelief in their lives. They need to be slain. People who are able to live with the Spirit don't always get weird with the Spirit. You can walk in the Spirit. You don't always have to be slain. You can rise up and go forth in newness of life. Is that to say anything about being slain in the Spirit? No. But we're hungering for something that somebody else has got. If God wants you to be slain in the Spirit, He'll let you be slain in the Spirit. If He wants you to leap in the Spirit, He'll let you leap in the Spirit. If He wants you to stand still and let tears run out of your eyes, then let the tears flow. But this is true. The Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I don't know what you got. I only know what I got. And you don't know what I got. You know what you have. Stir up the gift. Not in me, in you. Stir up the gift that's in you. Stir up the relationship with you and God. Draw nigh to God. Let God work in your spirit. Let God take over. Let God bless you. Let God prosper you. Go forward in the Lord. I'm not going to keep you real long tonight, but I want the Lord to minister to us. The young man had a wonderful relationship with God. And he didn't get messed up in the world. He got messed up in the church. You can get messed up in the church just as much as you can get messed up in the world. He knew the king was ungodly. He says, hey, I'm not going to listen to you, king. God spoke to me. But he got among the godly people, and the prophet, the old man, said to him, I got a word for you. I got a word for you. Do I have a word from God for you? God spoke to me and said, you're supposed to come to my house. Listen, I don't care what God gives you. I'm not running with your word. I don't care what God, if God can't tell me, I don't want it from you. I want it from the Lord. Excuse me. But that's the way it is. I'm not moving to some other state because you got a word. I got to live after I get there. I want God to tell me. Because I believe He gave me ears and eyes, and I want Him to tell me. I don't want you to be my mediator. I want Christ to be. The Lord told me you're supposed to marry Big Tom, whoever. You better hear from God yourself. Why do we accept it from other people? First of all, we don't think that what God tells us is that important. And it's the most important thing. Get alone with God until you get an answer. Stay with God until you get an answer. Don't you move until you get an answer. Go back into the Word and stay there until God says something to you. Don't you believe, you might ask, that God speaks to people through others? Confirmation. I'm not turning my life over to nobody. Because Jesus said, everybody who ever came besides me is a thief and a robber. I don't want no thief and robber in my life. I don't want somebody who's got some kind of imagination that they're a Messiah talking to me about what I'm supposed to do. I want to hear it from the Lord. It's too long a journey to be on the wrong path. I want God to speak to me. I want to know that He spoke to my spirit. The man of God, the old man, he wanted to control what was going on. He wanted to be on the inside of what was going on. And he knew that the young man of God was right on target, that God was using him. And he said, I got to be right there. I don't mean this in a bad way, but some people, as long as there's a man of God in town, they got to get on the platform. Hi, that's me. Here's my card. Drop over my church after the evangelist is gone. We want to be a part of what's going on. But you got to be careful when you're a part of what's going on. You've got to yield to the Lord and you've got to submit to God. You got to be careful in your relationship. When God begins to work in your life, the devil's going to try to pull you to the right hand or to the left. You got to be responsible for what God's doing in your relationship, your life, and your spirit. You got to trust the Lord. The old man said to the young man of God, I'm a prophet just like you. It's not my business to know what you are. It's my business to know what Christ is. And when you're looking at Jesus and I'm looking at Jesus, we have fellowship together in Christ. But I don't get caught up in your visions. I don't get caught up in your dreams. I don't get caught up in your schemes. I'm looking unto Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. That's the only place that there's safety. The enemy knows how to bring us down if we're careless. He wouldn't yield to the king, but there was a blind side in his experience. That's why you have to have a real relationship with Jesus. When I was considering this message, the Holy Spirit would speak to my heart. I begin to realize what a wonderful thing it is to have Jesus. Because we're not in the Old Testament. We're in the covenant. And Jesus says, he stands there in that moment and he says, watch it right now. Watch it. This is danger. Watch it. This is a problem. We don't have to be killed by the lion. We can know that the Lion of Judah has destroyed the lion that was out to get us. The Lion of Judah can take that lion that would be in our highway and keep us from being devoured. But the principle remains, if you're going to be full of the blessing of the Lord, you've got to have a relationship with God that's direct. The old prophet could fool most of the people. Because he had such an amazing testimony. I don't want to spend long here. But I've been around the church long enough to know you don't trust. And I hate to say that. But you don't trust people's testimonies if they're meant to impress you. I've heard of people who came to Christ and they said, I had a $50 a day habit on drugs. 2 years later, and you hear them give their testimony, they have a $150 a day habit. It's tripled since they've been serving God. And I've seen ministries that have people come in to give their testimonies of what they did before they came to Christ. And they knocked old ladies over the head, beat up people. And what does the church do? It looks like they're at a wrestling match. Eating it up. Listen, you don't want all the thing of garbage. You're just glad you're saved. And I've known people who've been saved in ministries like that that have turned to the leaders and say, excuse me, but I can't talk about that anymore. I'm not that person. I've been washed and I'm clean. And I don't want to talk about how many people I had a fight with. I don't want to talk about how many people I had sex with. I don't want to talk about the garbage. I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good and I'm on my way. And God's telling me, turn your back upon that and tell about Jesus, how good he is. You're responsible for your experience with Christ. To honor it. To thank God for it. Your valid testimony about how God has touched your life. It's the most precious thing you have. How he brought you out of the miry clay. Set your feet on a rock to stay. When you get into the body of Christ, be careful of being pulled to the right hand or to the left. You can end up with so much fellowship, and you realize when it's all over with, I feel empty. We talk about saints, we kidded, we laughed, we gossiped. But I'm losing the joy of my salvation. You see, sometimes God tells you, don't go to the city. Don't stop to eat or drink. I want you to get back to where I am. And I want you to know that the relationship you have with me is the one that gives life to you and power and victory. And you've got to keep that relationship. You can't shop church and find a place that's going to make a difference in your life. And I believe in church, and I believe in preaching, and I believe in the anointing, and I believe in all of this. That's not what I'm saying. But without you having a personal relationship with God, you are bankrupt. You have to know that you have a relationship with God that's real and valid. You have to know that Christ is Lord of your life. Stand with me in the service tonight. Fight for that personal experience. Whose experience is most exciting for you? I know there are some people that have colorful experiences. We're not all the same. But the most wonderful experience is your own. It has to be, or you're without a foundation. We can't enjoy Christianity like we enjoy vicariously baseball or basketball. Because our team is ahead. Because we know somebody who makes 3-point shots over and over again. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's what God has done for you. It's the time that God kept you from falling. It's the time that God forgave you when your life was shipwrecked. It's the time that God stood in the way when the devil wanted to devour you. It's your experience with God, and it's got to be the most wonderful experience to you of any experience you've ever heard. Your experience is the most glorious that you can ever, ever embrace. Whatever God has said to you is the word to cherish more than any other word that comes from anybody else. God is a speaking God. And there were times when you opened the Bible and your eyes filled with tears. It was a word just on time. It was just what you needed in that moment. It was God speaking to your heart. It was the Lord that was assuring you that He cared. That's the greatest word that you'll ever hear. There's people who've been ungodly men who've been able to call people out of congregation, tell them their driver's license number and everything else. That doesn't impress me. Demons can do that. And I'm not saying it's of demons, but it can be by demons. I don't get impressed with other people's relationship. I get impressed with God. There are psychics that are impressive in the church and out of the church. That's not what interests me. It's the fact that He reached down and He saved me. Put His hand upon me. Called me to preach His word. Been there when it looked like there was no way of escape. Stood in the way of the lion and said, no, you're not going to pounce on him. I'm going to give him opportunity to become what I called him to be. The most wonderful experience is yours. The most wonderful relationship is the one you have with God. Other people can encourage you because of theirs, but they can't make yours look like nothing, or you haven't heard from God, because God is not trashing your experience. God is not trashing your experience. Your experience is a marvelous experience. No matter what path, no matter what's happened, it's a marvelous, wonderful thing, the mercy, the grace, the power, the kindness, the goodness of God in your spirit and in your life. And you're a special person unto God. And He's working in your spirit and in your life. And you can never stand in confidence until you know confidently the person that you know that knows God is yourself. Not Pastor Bogle, not somebody else, but it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm going to ask you to come and stand at the altar tonight. If there are some of you that are coming that aren't saved, and I want you to stay at the altar afterward, personal workers will be there. But most of you that come on Thursday night, you come because God's begun a work in your life. The enemy wants to corrupt it. The enemy wants to distort it. The enemy wants you to forget the beauty that's yours in Christ. Vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor, but if God's working in your life, the end result is that He brings many sons to glory. God knows where He started working in your life. You're not a second-class citizen if you're born again. You're a child of God. You may never see an angel. It doesn't change the status of your relationship with God. It doesn't make you a better Christian because you saw an angel. You're a Christian because Jesus looked down and called you and the Holy Spirit drew you. And you're His. What other people have in their life, you can appreciate it. But you can't give up what you've got because of what other people have. I was but a little child and I saw that angel that appeared in my room. I don't talk about it much because that's my experience. It has nothing to do, and I don't use it to make my experience tower over yours. The important thing in my life is not that I saw an angel. The important thing in my life is that when sin had taken hold of my life, God worked to rescue. And He's done the same thing for every single one of you. When sin had a hold of my life, God worked to rescue. That's the important thing in my life. When sin had taken hold of my life.